Would you agree with me today that you are very blessed? Could you give a personal testimony? And could you say, I am blessed? And then you could go on and say, well, I am blessed because of this or because of that. Could you give testimony of how you are blessed greatly today? If I asked you to share 10 ways that God has blessed you this morning, could you think very quickly of 10 ways that God has blessed you? As I think about just the beginning of my day, I am thankful that I woke up this morning. Okay, we take that for granted many times, don't we? But just the fact that we are alive today, that's a blessing from God, isn't it? And I think about, I woke up this morning, I was able to get up and I was able to review my sermon, I was able to eat breakfast, I was able to spend some time with my family, I'm able to spend time with all of you this morning. That's a blessing, right? I'm thankful for a nice day out today. I'm thankful that maybe we might get some rain today. God has blessed me so many ways. I'm thankful that God has blessed me with a wife who loves me, who supports me. I'm blessed with children, 2 children that know the Lord and that love the Lord. They're growing in Him. I'm blessed with many other godly relatives and friends that strive to please the Lord in what they say and what they do. And I could go on and talk about, you know, the blessings of having a garden and picking fresh tomatoes. That's a blessing, right? I'm thankful for just the simple pleasure of spending time with my kids and pushing my daughter on the swing and see her laugh and have an enjoyable time. We could go on and on and on the many blessings that we have received from the hand of a good God. And I've just shared a few, and you could share many as well, couldn't you? God is so good to us. He has blessed us in so many different ways. Now, many of us here today are believers in Jesus Christ. And let's think about the many ways that God has blessed us as children of God. We've been blessed in that God has chosen us in Jesus, even before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Another blessing that God has showered upon us as believers in Jesus Christ, God has predestined us to be part of His family, to be adopted into His family as His own sons. We have been blessed in that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a huge blessing. God has abundantly given us wisdom and understanding. He has revealed to us what formerly had been hidden. And one day, all things will be gathered together in Christ. Those things that are on earth, those things that are in heaven. In Jesus Christ, we have become God's own precious inheritance. God has predestined us to be to the praise of His glory, both those who have first trusted in Christ and those who have trusted Him later on. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the blessing of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the earnest of our future redemption. There are so many blessings that we could talk about this morning. We have been blessed in both small ways and great ways. We have been blessed with natural blessings and spiritual blessings. And really, we should be praising God for all the blessings that He has showered upon us. But as we think about our salvation in Jesus Christ, as we think about ourselves as children of God and God as our Father, we especially want to be praising God and thanking God for the many ways that He has blessed us spiritually. There is an abundance, a superabundance of spiritual blessings that we have received through Jesus Christ. Now, as we have it, been studying here lately Ephesians chapter 1, and we've been reading through this passage time after time on Sundays, and I've been preaching sermons through this passage as well. But Paul the Apostle, as he reflected upon the many blessings that he has in Jesus Christ, he began Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 with these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The Apostle Paul, as he begins writing this letter to the Ephesians, he begins by praising God for all of the ways that he has been blessed in Jesus Christ. And Paul names just a few of those blessings, and I've already referred to a number of them. So Paul himself, the Ephesian believers, they have been blessed in Jesus Christ. And Paul praised God for these many spiritual blessings that God gives. And we today, what should our response be as we think about the blessings that God has given to us in Jesus Christ? Our response should be, praise God. Give glory to Him. He has been so good to us. But as we consider these spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul not only praised God for these spiritual blessings in Christ, he also thanked God, and he also was led to pray to God as he reflected upon these blessings that God has given him. And we today, as we reflect on these spiritual blessings that God has given to us, we should be led to give thanks to God and to pray to God. And this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16. In our Pew Bibles, that's page 1353. And our passage begins with these words: "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." You notice that verse 15 begins with that word, "wherefore," or it could also be translated, "for this reason." And Paul, by using this word, "wherefore," or by the words, "for this reason," what is he doing? He's referring back to what he just had said. And just a few verses earlier, Paul referred to those who had first trusted in Jesus as their Savior, those who had accepted the gospel, and then they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is none other than the earnest of their future redemption. And it's in light of that truth that Paul goes on to say what he does. But I think Paul even had in mind what he had said previous to this. Paul wanted us to be reflecting on what he had said earlier, even beginning in verse 3 and all the way down to our present passage, how Jesus Christ is the source of so many blessings, how God has showered so many blessings upon us. We've been chosen in Jesus. We have been predestined to be part of God's family. We have redemption through Jesus Christ. We have received revelation concerning things that have been formerly hidden. And in light of all of this and even more, Paul says what he does here in our verses 15 and 16. Paul testifies that he continually gives thanks. He continually makes mention of the Ephesians in his prayers. As we read the apostle's words here, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Do you think Paul was genuine in what he said there? He's very genuine. He's very sincere. Now, I've already mentioned some of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We have been chosen in Jesus, even before the foundation of the world. We've been chosen to be holy and without blame. We have been predestined to be part of God's family. And as Paul mentions these blessings, he doesn't view them just from an academic standpoint. No, he is understanding these things as huge blessings for himself and things for which to praise God, things for which to give thanks, things to pray to God about, and even that his prayers might be molded as he thinks about these items. As Paul thinks about the death of Jesus Christ, this was something that meant a lot to him. It wasn't something to be debated about, although he would debate, no doubt, but it wasn't something first and foremost to have debates about. As Paul reflected upon things such as he being chosen in Jesus Christ in the Ephesians as well, another way of putting that is that word election. When Paul talked about election or predestination, he understood and appreciated these matters in a very personal way, in a very experiential way. These were life-changing truths. These were blessings that came to him from their heavenly Father. So think of this. The supreme God of the universe, God Almighty, God determined to do good to Paul and to the Ephesians, and he determined to do these things even before anything was created. God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God determined long ago, even before time began, that we would be adopted into his family as his own children, as his own sons, with all the rights and the privileges. God was pleased to do this for us in Jesus. It is to the praise of his glory. God showed grace, abundant favor, and that's all in Jesus. And so this was Paul's response, reflecting on these blessings. He praised God. He gave thanks to God. His prayers were prompted as he thought about these blessings that he and the Ephesians had. But as we think about Christian circles today, there are times whenever a believer in Jesus Christ, when that believer hears words like election or predestination or even redemption, they immediately go into a certain mindset where they want to defend their own viewpoints. And they're focused so much on defending their own viewpoints, either for election or against election or for predestination or against predestination or a certain view of that. And there's discussions and debates and even arguments. And you've heard, no doubt, Calvinism or Arminianism and people arguing for this or that. But let me tell you this morning that Calvin or Arminius, neither one of them have a full understanding or a perfect understanding of the matters of salvation and their views that they espoused, or at least that their followers espoused. Today there are so many, as you bring up this concept of election or predestination or even redemption, when they hear these words, whenever you start talking about these things, they view verses like what we read here in Ephesians chapter 1. They view these verses through their own framework of belief. And they staunchly defend their Calvinistic beliefs or their Arminian beliefs or whatever personal beliefs they may have. And they try to make Scripture conform to a certain theological system. And they're focused so much on that that they neglect to praise God for the fact that we've been chosen in Jesus Christ. They neglect to give thanks to God for the fact I've been chosen in Jesus Christ. I've been predestined. It can be very easy to view passages like this from a very academic way, to use this verse or other verses to support our system of belief. Now, I'm not saying today that we shouldn't try to compare Scripture with Scripture and put together a biblical viewpoint of what God says about salvation or what God says about himself or what God says about redemption or election or predestination. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing to try to put Scripture together with Scripture and have a coherent understanding of what the Bible says. But sometimes Christians have become so focused on making a system or maintaining a theological system that they neglect to embrace the truth of what God says in his word. They focus more on defending their own way of interpreting the Bible that they don't take the time to thank God for what God says in the Bible and praise God for what he says in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, he took the truth of God very seriously. He taught the truth about God and about Jesus, and he instructed about the realities of salvation, what God was doing through his church. And Paul didn't put up with error at all. He confronted error. But as zealous as Paul was for the truth, he didn't view it just simply from an academic viewpoint. As he spoke about matters like God choosing us before the foundation of the world, predestinating us to be part of his family, what did Paul respond? He responded with praise, and with thanksgiving, and with prayer. So let us pause for just a little moment. I know I've said quite a lot already. But let's examine our own lives this morning. How do we respond to the spiritual blessings which God has showered upon us in Jesus Christ? And so as we read through these verses that we've read through many times before, and we consider how God has chosen us in Jesus Christ, how do we respond to that truth? How do we respond to the truth that we have been predestined to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself? How do we respond to the truth that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? How do we respond to these truths? And do we respond by praising God? Do we respond by giving thanks to God that God has chosen us, that he has predestined us? Do we thank God regularly for these truths that he has revealed to us? Do we thank God that he has redeemed us, that he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, that God has graciously given us wisdom and understanding? That's what Paul did as he thought about these spiritual blessings. He praised God. He thanked God. He was led to pray to God. So all of this to say, may we never view the doctrines of election or predestination or redemption from just a merely academic viewpoint or from just where we evaluate all of these truths, but it doesn't really get down to our hearts. May we never have a cold or a detached mentality about these truths. May we with heartfelt wonder and joy give thanks to God for the wonderful things that He has done for us. And may God continually give us grace to appreciate what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. So Paul here, as we read our verses, he faithfully gave thanks to God, and he faithfully prayed based upon his recognition of what God had done for both himself and the Ephesian believers in Jesus Christ. So in light of all these spiritual blessings that Paul and the Ephesians have, he was led to give thanks and pray to God. As we look at our verses here, verses 15 and 16, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul gave thanks and he prayed based upon what God had done for him spiritually in Christ. But there's something more that prompted Paul to give thanks, something more that prompted him to pray to God. And we just saw it there in verses 15 and 16. After he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus, after he heard of their love to all the saints, he ceased not to give thanks for them and making mention of them in his prayers. So Paul here speaks about receiving a report about the Ephesians and how the Ephesians had faith and how they had love. And it's immediately after noting their faith and their love that he testifies about his unceasing giving of thanks, about his constant prayers for them. And so looking at the text here, it doesn't say that explicitly he is giving thanks and he is praying because of their faith and because of their love, but I think that's very much implied in the text here. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So let's pause for just a little bit here and think about Paul receiving the reports concerning the Ephesians, their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for all the saints. And there are some who wonder, well, didn't Paul personally know the Ephesian believers? Why then did he need to have a report concerning them to give thanks concerning their faith and their love? Didn't he personally know of their faith and their love? You know, hadn't he spent quite a long time with the Ephesian believers? So why is there this mention of a report received about their faith and their love? But considering the Ephesian letter here, it's been some 5 to 7 years since Paul had personally seen the Ephesians face to face. So yes, Paul had spent quite a long time with the Ephesians whenever he first shared the gospel with them. He would have had first-hand knowledge of their faith and their love, but 5 to 7 years had passed since Paul had seen them, since he had witnessed their faith personally and their love personally. And 5 to 7 years is quite a span of time, isn't it? And things can change over time. And so you see how Paul would have been encouraged whenever he heard a report concerning the Ephesians, that the Ephesians, they are trusting in the Lord, that they have faith in the Lord Jesus, they have love to all the saints. They were still trusting God. They were still loving others as Jesus had loved them. Their faith was a genuine, living faith. Their faith was a thriving faith. Their love had not grown cold. It was an active love. Paul heard about the Ephesians' faith. He heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, we could go back to Acts chapter 18, and Paul first came to Ephesus, and he stayed there for a relatively short time. He was in the synagogue. He reasoned with the Jews concerning Jesus, and those in the synagogue wanted him to stay longer, but Paul was intent on going to Jerusalem. He wanted to be there for the feast. Later on in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we read about Paul's return. And it was during that second stay in Ephesus that he stayed for some 2 years' time. And during that time, we read that all in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Only God knows how many people trusted in Jesus Christ during that period of time. So Paul would have known personally many of the Ephesian believers that he's writing to now in this letter. So why is he now speaking about hearing about their faith? Well, as I mentioned before, a long time had elapsed. And Paul was very thankful that these ones who had trusted in Jesus in the past were still trusting in him in the present. Now, as we think about trusting in Jesus, usually whenever we talk about trusting in Jesus, we think about a specific moment in time when we placed our trust in Jesus. We were saved when we trusted in Jesus. But we need to realize as believers in Jesus Christ, our faith is not just at one single moment in time when we place our trust in Jesus for salvation. It is true at that moment in time we become new creatures in Christ. We are born again. But at that moment in time, our lives change completely. And our lives are now characterized by trusting in Jesus. A believer is one who continually believes in Jesus. One who continually is placing their trust in Jesus Christ. So faith is not something just in the past. Faith is something that characterizes the believer's life all throughout the present as well. In the future. Until that day when they see Jesus face to face. And so it's this ongoing faith that Paul is talking about in this verse. Paul had heard about their faith in Jesus Christ. So they lived their lives by faith, not by sight. And their faith was a living faith. It was an active faith. If you go to the book of James, and James tells us quite clearly about the importance of having a living faith, a faith that produces works. And these Ephesians had faith that produced works. And they showed by their actions that they truly were children of God, that they were trusting in Jesus. These Ephesians were in Christ. It was in Christ they were exercising their faith. And it's because of their faith Paul gave God thanks. Continual thanks. You can imagine what joy Paul would have had as he thought about the Ephesians. And they were still trusting the Lord. Even though they had serious challenges, no doubt, maybe problems that they were dealing with, but they still were trusting in Jesus Christ. They were living by faith. Paul was prompted to thank God for the Ephesians' faith. And so how about us today? Is Paul the only one that should be led to give thanks to God because of people's faith, their ongoing faith in Jesus Christ? How about us today? How often do we consider one another and our faith, our shared faith in Jesus Christ? And so we look around this congregation, a fairly small congregation, but this way we can see each other quite well, and we know each other quite well, don't we? Most of us do anyway. And so I look at Jack, and how often, I can ask myself, how often do I give thanks to God for Jack's ongoing faith for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ throughout his life? How often do I mindfully thank God for that? And I could say the same thing about Betty and about Cleve. How often am I thinking about these ones' ongoing faith in Jesus Christ? How they are continually trusting Him through the ups and downs of life? Am I consciously thanking God for their faith? You know, when is the last time that we have prayed to God thanking Him for one another's faith? You know, that's something we need to think about. And that maybe we need to grow this way in our prayer lives. Or maybe you already do thank God regularly for one another's faith. But this is something that Paul did. This is something that we should do as well. Yes, we should be thankful whenever somebody trusts in Jesus Christ. You know, that moment of belief. That's an incredible thing. Give thanks to God for that. But we don't want to stop our thanksgiving there because we want to continually be thanking God for that ongoing faith. Because as believers, what do? We live by faith, not by sight. And we need to be continually thanking God for our faith in Jesus. Are we giving thanks continually? Are our prayers prompted because we consider one another's faith? When was the last time that we thanked God for someone else's faith? That we follow Paul's example. Now let's focus on the last part of verse 15. Not only had Paul heard about the Ephesians' faith in the Lord Jesus, but he also heard about their love to all the saints. And this love of the Ephesians toward all the saints, was a cause for Paul to give thanks to God, and it really molded his prayers to God as well. I submit to you that the Ephesians' living faith was a cause of their ongoing love for all the saints. Because faith produces works. And so I think faith and love, anyway, they're closely connected, if not the love, at least the actions produced. And you could say the same thing for love as well, that the actions done were produced by their love. But we see how closely connected are the faith and the love. Now, to love others, to look out for others' ultimate good, that truly is a sign of trusting God, though, isn't it? And obeying God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's what Jesus told his disciples. And the Ephesians, by way of application, were to likewise heed Jesus' words here. Love others even as I have loved you. Now, what is Jesus' love like? Jesus' love is an unconditional love. It is a love without qualification. And Jesus loves his own regardless of their personality, regardless of their strengths and their weaknesses. And think of this, Jesus loves people even when they sin, right? That's what Jesus' love is like. So this is how Jesus' disciples are to love one another. And the Ephesians, they were to love one another like this, and I believe they were loving one another like this. And think of this, they were loving not just some of the saints, they were loving all of the saints. So it wasn't just the likable believers that they were loving even those who are unlikable. Because you realize not all believers are likable, are they? But Paul was thankful because the Ephesians had love toward all the saints. It was because of such love that Paul gave thanks to God. It's because of such love that Paul offered prayers to God. Paul was truly thankful. He had gratitude as he heard this report about the Ephesians. It was good news. And so do you think we can learn from what Paul did here as far as thanking God and being spurred in his prayers to God by this report of the Ephesians' love for all the saints? How often do we thank God for the vibrant love of our fellow believers? So we look out on our congregation here, and it's not just limited to this congregation because we have many other believers besides the walls of this building that are, you know. So how often, though, do we consciously give thanks to God for Cleve's love? Cleve's love to all the believers. Okay. And again, we have to make sure, well, you know, we aren't thanking God for something that's not true. So first of all, we can look at our own lives, right? Look at the lives of others. Am I really loving all believers, right? And if I'm not loving all, then I need to change something, right? I need to call out for God to help me in that area. But as we look at fellow believers and as we see that they are loving all, are we thanking God for that love? When is the last time that we offered thanksgiving for Cleve's love or Joe's love? Or we could go on down the list. Now, Paul had many great reasons to thank God. He had many great reasons to come to God in prayer. Yes, the Ephesians were blessed with many spiritual blessings in Christ. The Ephesians were living in faith. The Ephesians were loving all the saints. And that was cause for thanksgiving. It was cause for prayer. Now let's look at verse 16 just very briefly here. What does Paul say? Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. How often was Paul giving thanks, even as he considered the spiritual blessings that the Ephesians were enjoying, as he was thinking about their faith and their love for all? How often did Paul give thanks? How often did he pray? And it says that he doesn't cease to give thanks for you. He's making mention of you in my prayers, and it's a continual making mention in his prayers. Now, we don't want to over-interpret this or read it over-literally. So when he says, cease not to give thanks for you, it's not as if he was every single second giving thanks to God, because that would mean he'd have to stay awake 24/7, right? Thanking God for these things all the time. But what Paul was doing was continually, as a lifestyle, as a characteristic, giving thanks for the Ephesians to God. they can mention of them in their prayers. So as he thought about these spiritual blessings that they enjoyed, as he thought about their faith and their love, whenever Paul prayed, he surely was praying for the Ephesian believers. And as well as that, he probably was praying for the Colossian believers. He was probably praying for the Roman believers, giving thanks and praying for them. That was the nature of Paul's prayer life. This is how much Paul appreciated, truly appreciated God's grace in the lives of his fellow believers. He continually gave thanks for them. He continually prayed for them and prayed about them. Paul is a great example for us, isn't he? So how thankful are we? How much do we come to God in prayer to begin with? And what do we pray to God concerning? Is our mindset like that of the Apostle Paul's? Are we continually thinking about the blessings that we have received and others have received, blessings in Christ? Are we continually thinking about these? And are we coming to God continually in prayer, thanking Him? Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So just as Paul prayed continually for others, so too we should be praying continually for our fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind, we should be praying for the lost as well. I'm not neglecting that aspect either. Or I'm not denying that. But here Paul's focus is on praying for the Ephesians. And our application can be praying for our fellow believers here in this place or even beyond. Do we pray always for other believers? And are we praying always and continually giving thanks, even as we think about these spiritual blessings, and for others' faith and love? Now, in the verses to follow, we'll see more about the details of how Paul prayed for these Ephesian believers, the content of his prayer. And we have much to learn from those verses, but that is for another sermon yet. But what can we learn today? How have we been challenged? How have we been encouraged? May we continually praise God for the spiritual blessings that He has bestowed upon His church. May we continually be going to God in prayer, thanking Him even for how He is working in the lives of our fellow believers. May we do that continually. Would you agree with me God is good? Would you agree with me that God has showered so many blessings upon us? And let's not just be physically or thinking mostly of the material blessings or the physical blessings, although those are great and we should be thankful for those, but let us be especially thankful for our salvation and all the things that are associated with that salvation. May we continually thank God for His goodness to us in Christ. May we continually come before the throne of grace, remembering our brothers and sisters in Christ and how God has been so good to them. What words of encouragement, what words of challenge Paul has for us today. May God continually give us grace that we'd continually be thanking God and praising Him and coming to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the Apostle Paul and the example that he is to us today. It's our desire that we'd be continually praising You for the spiritual blessings that You have poured out upon Your church. We want to be continually thanking You. And we want to be continually coming to You in prayer, even as we are mindful of the work that You are doing in our fellow believers. So I pray that You would encourage us, that You would even be challenging us to be praying as the Apostle Paul prayed. And we don't want to be just following Paul because he's Paul, but Paul was following Jesus Christ. So help us to learn from these words and help us to be even growing in our thankfulness and in our praise and in our prayers. There's so much for us to be thanking You for. So help us to be mindful of these things and help us to put these exhortations into practice. Again, we thank You and pray these things in Jesus' name.